lapse, but you have to catch it.
No, but the switch is in there. That's where I just go. Okay, that's standard. And,
okay.
They do it in
everybody ready?
Within a minute.
Like, we are in Shar Beis Perek Yud Aleph. We're going to learn inside. In the Haggah. We need to start a couple of lines before the Haggah to understand the context of the Haggah. The Shar Beis Perek Yud Aleph. And here, I'll just say it out loud, that what the Nefesh HaChaim tells us is that the whole perek is about that we have to daven l'tzarech gavoya. L'tzarech gavoya not means for a high purpose. L'tzarech gavoya means you have to daven for Hashem, which is a very strange idea, to daven for Hashem, because as we've been pointing out, Hashem is perfect. He doesn't need us to daven for him. But l'tzarech gavoya means you daven l'tzarech gavoya. And the Nefesh HaChaim before the Haggah says that there's two parts to this. There's two ways, if you will, to daven for Hashem. One is, two very important ways. One is Chilul Hashem. So Chilul Hashem means, in other words, Hashem is perfect. But if we make a Chilul Hashem, so you're making a Chilul in Hashem. You're making Chilul is Lashon Chol. You're making something Kodesh Chol. So if the world is not working for the Jewish people, so there's a Chilul Hashem there, no? Meaning, if the world is not working for the Jewish people, let's say, Rachmana Litzlan, there's a Holocaust. There was a Holocaust. So a Holocaust, besides for the whole Yad Vashem, there's another Nakuda there, and that it's a Chilul Hashem. Because Vaharaya, I mean, what did all the Christians say during the Holocaust? Say, Lama Yom Ragayim. Moshe Rabbeinu himself said, Moshe Rabbeinu himself said that, what are the Mitzrayim going to say? Baruch Hoitziyah Me'aretz Mitzrayim. That Hashem doesn't love the Jews. Hashem doesn't love the Jews is opposite of everything that it says in the Torah that we believe. So is the Chilul Hashem, like it's really a bad rep for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Bnei Yisrael should have tzar. So Klal Yisrael is b'tzar, chas v'shalom. So you can say, oh my God, get me out of tzar. That's one tefillah. That's not l'tzarech gavoya. That's tzarech atzmai. Also a tefillah. Pashat Yid Davins is a big thing. But the higher level of davening is the tzarech gavoya, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't you see this Holocaust, this war, It's a Chilul Hashem. If you live through something like some of us did, you know, like the Six-Day War, it's a Kiddush Hashem. It's a Kiddush Hashem in the sense that, wow, like unbelievable, after everything, thousands of years, Hashem is taking care of the Jewish people. Kiddush Hashem. If it doesn't work, God forbid, so it's a Chilul Hashem. So that's one thing of one area of Tzarech Gavoya. The other area of Tzarech Gavoya. Right, well, Hashem, for your sake, Lamancha, for your sake, stop this tzara from happening. For your sake, all you're doing is making yourself look bad. I'm saying it in crude words, even though I'm talking about God, but I'm just saying it l'saber so'ezen, that it doesn't look good for Hashem. It doesn't create credibility for Hashem. It doesn't create emunus and emuna in Hashem when your people are suffering. It doesn't. So that's one tefillah where a person is b'tzar. We're talking about a person's b'tzar. A nation is b'tzar. So there's a Chilul Hashem, the first point to daven. The second point to daven, second way of davening, l'tzarech gavoya, is that he tells us, imay anoichi b'tzara. So that means to say that if we're b'tzar, Hashem has tzar also. So we become, it's something like what we learned together, some of us in the Tomer Devorah, Sheiris Yisrael, remember the Midah of Sheiris Yisrael, one of the Midos, Yud Gimel Midos of the Tomer Devorah, and the Tomer Devorah says, in my words, that the Jewish people are the nerve endings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if we're the nerve endings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could you say, you know, the head can't say, well, that's my fingers. That's my hand. My hand hurts. I don't hurt. If your hand hurts, you hurt. If your foot hurts, you hurt. So if Klal Yisrael hurts, Hashem hurts. So it's a different Lazarek Gavoya, not Chilul Hashem. I can't honestly say I know what that even means. I don't even know what it means. Hurt. Klapi Mala. But whatever it means, it means. Kach gilu lanu chazal, chachameinu, that there is tsara of the, maybe it makes it a little bit easier if we talk about the tsara of the Shechina. Makes it a little bit easier. So says the Haggah, let's learn inside a little bit.
What's the form of the Haggah? Why does some parts are like...
What is it? He wrote it afterwards.
After everything?
After he finished writing the Nefesh HaChaim, he wrote the Haggah. I have more to say on this. We're in Perchar Beis Perek Yud Aleph, the first Haggah. Mine doesn't have a number. I'm sorry, but it starts. Ve'elu Beis Ho'eifanim. Got it? Ve'elu Beis Ho'eifanim. The two ways that I just told you, says Nefesh HaChaim. The two ways that I just told you: davening Letzarech Kavoya because it's a Chilul Hashem, and davening Letzarech Kavoya because you have tzar for my tzar. Kal v'chomer, if the whole Bnei Yisrael is a tzar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tzar. Elu beis ha'ifanim, ramzam hatano shneim b'mishnah. You'll find them both in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says as follows. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, a very famous Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. V'hoya kasha yorim Moshe yadav, it's a ksiva kri. V'gavar Yisrael. Okay, we all know, it says in the Chumash Parshas B'Shalach, that when Hashem... When we went out of Mitzrayim, first thing that happened, we had a war with Amalek. Just got out of Mitzrayim, war with Amalek. And in some sense, the Chumash seems to say that people felt like, what'd you take us out of Mitzrayim for? We were at least protected in Mitzrayim. Okay, we were slaves, but this is ridiculous. Amalek, in my research, was a superpower. I mean, they were stronger than Bnei Yisrael. Malik was strong. Pachad. So what happens? He said, Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, we're going to go to war with Amalek. And he goes up on top of the mountain. And Vahaya says the Torah, Kasha Yari Moshe Yadav, the Gavar Yisrael. That as long as Moshe Rabbeinu kept his hands up, we were winning the battle. Imagine a battle like on TV, you know, like not rockets, not, you know, like a battle, a hand-to-hand battle, swords, things like that. So who's winning the battle? Whoever's advancing, whoever, I guess, is killing more people. It's not a defensive war. It's a war, you know. So when Moshe Rabbeinu picked up his hands, so Klal Yisrael started winning. When he put down his hands, Klal Yisrael started losing. V'hayu Moshe, Yidei Moshe Kvedim, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's hard to keep your hands up so high. It's a funny kind of thing. So he called two others to hold his hands up. And it seems from the Chumash, I want to add, that even at that point, he was still putting his hands down once in a while. But they came and said, Moshe, put your hands up. Keep your hands up. So the Mishnah famously comments and asks, V'chiyadav shamosha osos milchama, shoyveris milchama. Could it be that Moshe's hands are making war, not making war? Like, why would the Nitzachon be dependent on Moshe Rabbeinu's hands? What's the Leimer Lecha? That the Leimer Lecha is well known, that Bezman, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't holding his hands up only, he was pointing. He was pointing to the Shemayim. And pointing to the Shemayim, so Bezman Shi Yisrael, Mistaklin Klape Mala, as long as the Bnei Yisrael were looking klape mala, and now let's, for the maybe the first time in our lives, try to understand this deeply. You know, this is not a way to go to war. Lizman Shi Yisrael, mistaklin klape mala, they were winning. And if they weren't mistako klape mala, they started to lose. So obviously, mistaklin klape mala means that when they were understanding that this is all min hashomayim, simple pshat, they were winning. Something Gevaldik, the Sfarnai says just while I'm here, that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu put his hands down once in a while, this is Sfarnai in Bashalach, I believe, is because when we were winning, we right away went into this place of, oh, we're winning, we don't need God.
So just to show them.
So put down my hands for a minute, and you start losing. Oops, God. Yeah. It's like the famous story of the person who's, you know, doing the rounds, you know, in Brooklyn, trying to find a parking space, and davening, because I'm late for my appointment, and then a guy pulls out miraculously out of the spot, and he goes into the parking space, and he says, okay, Hashem, I don't need you. I got my own spot. So Hashem put down his hands once in a while. That's what the Moshe Rabbeinu, rather, put down his hands once in a while. So says the Svarta, interesting. So says the Nefesh HaChaim, Ki yotze bazeh badavar ato aimer. And then the he's Merames, he's assuming we're Talmidei Chachamim, which we are. Ki yotze, we find similarly, says the Mishnah, a similarity, which we would not necessarily have made this connection, but the Mishnah makes the connection, that there was a different story in the Chumash where everybody was getting bitten by snakes. It was a Magefam Nechashim. And Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, make a Nachash Nechoshes. Make a caduceus. like the medical symbol. Put a copper nachash. So similarly, the Mishnah says, and everybody will look at the copper nachash like a flag. So the Mishnah says, nachash meimis, nachash mechaya. There's a nachash. There, it's interesting to be medayik. It doesn't talk about is the looking up doing it. Can this nachash have a koach of Misa and Chaim? Does a Nachash have a Koyach of Misa and Chaim? So, no, says the Mishnah, same thing, Ki Yotze B'zeh, it's the Lashon of the Mishnah. That it's the same thing, because Yisrael, Mistaklin, Klape Mala, it caused us to look upward. And when we looked upward, we were healing from the snake bites, or the snake stopped biting us. And when we were looking downwards, like at our foot that got bit by the snake, so then we were suffering from the snake bite and dying. So the Mishnah says it's a kiyotze b'zeh. So you have two different ways or two different reasons to look up. Looking up, in the words in the thinking of the Nefesh HaChaim, is davening l'tzarech gavoya. It's not when you look up and say, "Oh God, save me," that He saves you from war, or it's not that when you look at a snake. And sometimes I say here things here because I'll never have a chance to say it, so I'll say it here. But the Rambam says, what does it mean? B'chi ha-nachash meimis v'ha-nachash mechaya. Where do you find a case of a nachash mechaya? So there's a portion of Rambam. Rambam asks his kasha. Nachash is meimis. So the Mishnah should have simply said, b'chi ha-nachash meimis? Could the nachash be meimis? The answer is they looked up. What does it mean? B'chi ha-nachash meimis v'ha-nachash mechaya. There's no such Echatipsa of Nachash Mechaya. So the Rambam says that if you, that's a beautiful Rambam, that if you extract the venom of a snake and turn it into a serum and a vaccination, so then you can become vaccinated from the snake. And it comes out that the snake is the Mechaya. Measles, etc. I'm just saying. This is you have a clear... the Rambam, 12th century, understanding the vaccination against the poison, the venom of a snake. So a nachash meimis, a nachash mechaya. So people were looking at the nachash as a beast of death, and you could also look at the nachash as let's catch one of those darn things and inject it within us somehow, and it'll become a beast of life. And the whole thing is wrong. It is wrong. It's not wrong, but the whole thing is not enough, because the whole thing is you have to have the nachash up there. See, it's also gewaldic while I'm here that a nachash in the animal kingdom is the most flexible of all animals. Turn into like spineless. And the way Moshe Rabbeinu made the Nachash Nechoshes, it was completely inflexible, like bending a penny. It was completely inflexible. The message here was how to turn, look at, according again, according to the Sephardim, look how inflexible you are. The tshuva requires, and that could be a deeper pshat, in hanachash mechaya. Like, in other words, learn something from the nachash, that there's this idea of flexibility, because we're also stuck in our ways. And understand this nachash nechayshus. Nachash nechayshus, it's a contradiction in terms. Nachash is flexible, and nechayshus is inflexible. Nachash nechayshus, it's not just a play on words, it's a contradiction in words. Nachash nechayshus, they both have the same. Hine, so says the Nefesh HaChaim as follows. Ha'oifin harishin anisker b'makim she'esh chilu shma yisbarach. So the first case, the case of Amalek, was a case of, if we lose this war with Amalek, straight out of Mitzrayim, right? If we lose the war with Amalek, it's a terrible Chilul Hashem. It's a terrible Chilul Hashem. Everybody's going to say, Hashem just dragged these fools out into the midbar and to kill them. It's a Chilul Hashem. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was pointing upward, what he was saying was, don't just be mechaven in this milchama strategically, you got to do that too. And don't just be mechaven to save your life or even to save other people's lives. There's another kavana here, another kavana, which is Hashem, it's a Chilul Hashem. It's a Chilul Hashem for your sake. This is, I mentioned this many times before, that the tefillah that works is when we say, Lamancha Elikim Chaim. At the end, all the Amoraim, the Gemara and Baruchah says, Rav Amnuna, Rav Avo, they all said their own little tefillah at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, we say, Elikim, Netzar, Lashani, Meiros, Vasayim, Midavir, Mirma. They all say, they all compose these tefillahs. They all say the same thing, basically. Asei leman shemecha, asei leman yiminecha, asei leman teresecha, asei leman shchinasecha, asei leman kedushasecha. They all talk about, do this for your sake. That means that the last paragraph of Shemoneh Esrei was the matir of the whole Shemoneh Esrei, because the whole time we're saying Rifainu, Hashivainu, we're talking about us, Shema Koileinu, and all of a sudden we've switched it around to Asei Laman Shemech, Asei Laman Teresech. If you don't help us, then it's a Chilul Hashem.
Why did it have to be added on later?
What? Because the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah understood that automatically in the Kavanah. But there's, as we explained, they understood it automatically in the Kavanah. But, that's the second Kavanah, Tzar HaShchina. But what they wanted to, it was like a matir. Here's my tefillah, now I'm sending the bird off. And that's what the Elikayin Netzar does. It sends off the tefillah to, this is for you, Hashem. This is for you. Do it for your sake. So he says as follows. Ki adu ma'morim zal, is well known. B'psikta mashal ambatya. Well known. You have to know a little bit of Shas to understand a Haggah of the Nefesh HaChaim, because everything's v'chulu. But we do know that the Rashi tells us, the Skubara, that when we came out of Mitzrayim, was so miraculous that everybody was afraid of us, and it was the brazenness of Amalek which was the problem. Moshe Lambatya, like the bulvan who jumps into the hot mikveh and makes it umitstanein lekulam, says Rashi. Makes it cooler for everybody. So Amalek did not like the idea that the whole world is intimidated by the Bnei Yisrael. Something we're familiar with, right? So if Amalek would win, what war are they winning? They're not winning the, God forbid, the annihilation of the Jewish people. The war that they're winning is, we'll show you, see that it's not a insurmountable people. It's not,
Nothing special.
So there is, there, it was, it was, a sacrilege war, a war of sacrilege. Nothing to do with religion, sacrilege. It was a sacrilege war. Like, don't be so holy.
If it's the people, why is it mentioned case call?
Because it's all connected, and that's exactly what we're learning. That's exactly what we're learning, because it's the Tzarech Gavoya. This is the sacrilege of this world that says nothing special, so the kisei itself is not shalom. That's exactly Latzarek Avaya. That's exactly what it means. V'chein amur sham, it also says in Gemara, shayichoytech milois v'zarkin klapei mala, that they would do, I'm not sure exactly what the matzias was, but they took the idea of bris mila and they were saying Hashem is nothing. He adds over here. If their kavanah was klape mala, if your kavanah in this Mohammed of Amalek is Ribbono Shel, it's a chilul Hashem, then you will be matzliach. Vimlav, they weren't. You know what the nice thing is, to say the obvious, that don't daven for yourself. This is what he's saying. Don't daven for yourself. Daven for Chil Hashem. Daven for Hashem. Which sounds very altruistic, right? But, you know, don't daven for yourself. Daven for Hashem. But the cool thing about this is that it works. Then they won the war. So, you know, like in our own lives, like I'm not ready to daven for Hashem. I'm really busy davening for myself. But the point of it is that davening for yourself is already good. Like, a lot of people don't even daven for themselves. But the correct way to daven is you daven Tzarech Gavoya. So you say, well, you know, it takes away from the self-centeredness of it. So no, Adraba, you'll win better. It's a win-win. It's a win-win situation.
Why is it incorporated in Shmoneh Esrei?
I think the whole thing is. I think the whole Shemoneh Esrei, if we'll learn it, and we mentioned this before, is all about davening for Hashem. Rifa Einu, otherwise it's a Chil Hashem. And that's why you always have to daven Barabim. It's not about me. It's Barabim. That's why you always have to daven with a minion. It's not about me. It's about a Tzibur, Bnei Yisrael. 10 people is called already Bnei Yisrael. So it's the best you can do. You can't have everybody together unless you have a hakel or something.
That's what it means when whoever's mispal and chavera and not
chilul. Also, exactly right. Mispal about chavera, v'utzarech lo yisei davar. So it's a good trick. Like if you yeah. So it's psychologically difficult, but if you need something, like you need some money, so says Chazal, the eitzah here is find somebody who's poor and daven for them, and you'll have money. So you say, well, I'll daven for somebody else. You know, I need money myself. So the answer is that's how you get it. This is Bidiyuk, how you get it. It's a little bit tricky, so that you're right, you're davening for yourself. Okay. I mean, we're only human. But there's a mahalach here. It shouldn't be a Chil Hashem. And then the Mishnah goes further. Let's say you have a case where there is no Chil Hashem. I have a headache. It's not a Chil Hashem. I mean, nobody's becoming a Christian because I have a headache. So Rabbis Lado Akasav inyan Nachash HaNachoshes. That's the case of Nachash HaNachoshes. The case of the getting the Bagefa of snakes. Oifin v'inyan HaBakashav HaTchila Ritzui L'fanav Yisparach. The way to daven there, if you're suffering from a physical ailment, personal physical ailment, or there's some type of a plague or something going around. So here the trick is a different kind of tefillah. This is so important that you take, just forget about your tsar for a second when you daven. Okay, so what am I davening? You have to look at the tsar of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, I just want to point out something. When we say, look at the Tzar Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu, you could look at it like the Tober Dvar looks at it, or you could look at it like the next few words here. The way the Tober Dvar looks at it, which seems to be clear in Chazal, B'tzarasam loy tzar. That's the pasuk that the Talmud Dvarah brings. Bitzarasim, when Klal Yisrael has tzar, lo, with the vav, tzar. He has tzar also. It's also ksiv and kri. So bitzarasim, lo tzar. It could be the pshat is that there is no tzar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the fact that we're feeling pain is bitzarasim, lo tzar. So if we're going to daven for the pain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, we've left Chil Hashem idea for a minute. Now something else. I'm in pain. This bothers you, Hashem, that you're in pain. That I'm in pain, because you're in pain when I'm in pain. Again, we're the nerve endings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bitzarasam, light tsar.
We're his children.
We're his children. They're pain, right? So is there anybody whose child is not in pain and they don't feel pain? It's worse. You'd rather have the pain yourself, right? Than see your child in pain. So bitzarasam, light tsar. That's the pashut of shat, as the Talmud verse speaks out. He says it a little bit different over here. But Rakal Goydel Atzar Shemala, we're davening for the great Tsar of Hashem, Shigarmoy Be'es Asiyas Avon, that we've caused him by doing an Avon. Who did an Avon? But so the Tsar here is, as we're going to see further, according to the Nefesh HaChaim, that Hashem's, the thing is like this, we've disappointed Hashem, and therefore we have Yisurim. And Hashem has tzar, like a child, you've disappointed them. And you have even more tzar if you have to punish him. So, but tzarasim light tzar, as they say. You ever believe that? I never. No way. Tzarasim light tzar. Okay. Vigama tsar shel ata, also, you see, in other words, like, so what he's saying here, the first sentence is that Hashem says, I speak for Hashem, Hashem says, I created you, I blew into your nostrils in a shabba, I take care of you, I give you hashgacha pratis, and you leave me? You choose to do something against me? So it's also tsar for a parent, right? Also tsar for a parent. A rebellion. So that's one tsar of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Then let's say the kid gets in trouble because he left your way. Another tsar. Injury to injury. There's another tsar here. Not only you don't listen to me and you've disappointed me and you've been, this is terrible, but not only that, you got in trouble also. Now you're a drug addict and look at you. So, Tsar Agabi Tsar. So there's two tsars here. Vagaba Tsar Shalata Shadasa Lamala Bachmash Heba Shriya Nata Batsar. Misuri Oidish Bavoida, because they did an Avoid. Now they're Batsar. Also you misrap him. So the Lachashim in the Midbar came from the fact that we rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, clear in the Chumash. It didn't just come. And we Mistako Klape Malo at the Nachash HaNachoshas to say, stop thinking about your snake bite, and start thinking about the tsar of the Shekhinah, daven ki'ilu for the tsar of the Shekhinah, that somehow works. So again, we're saying to Hashem, for your sake, heal me. Maybe I don't deserve it, but for your sake, heal me.
How does the copper snake allude to tsar lemala?
I think when the flexible becomes inflexible. Hashem gave us bechira, and the copper snake is an inflexible flexibility.
That's
the tsar. Okay, the tsar. I gave you bechira. You've abused your bechira. You've chosen the wrong way, and you become stiff-necked. Everybody knows that I'm not a political person. I'm not interested in politics, and I don't know anything about it. And I certainly don't know anything about military strategy. But I just want to say, like, it's so in the Gaila Misa, because we just had a war this week, right? a war, whatever you want to call it, by any other word, is a war. Missiles, and when you think about it, like me, the Nar, it's such an interesting thing. It's a scary thing because. Everybody's, it's easy to complain, why don't you just, carpet bomb, the Gaza and just kill them all, Okay, again, I'm not a political person. I want to share with you this because I think it's okay that I'm Shachai. I mean, first of all, those kind of words, Bechal, they hurt my ears. if there's like I was saying to somebody that, you know, like you know, in Syria, like this group is killing that group, and that group is killing this group, and whose side are we on? So you told me they should all be matzliach. I gave them a bracha. But I don't think it's a pretty, I don't think it's a very Jewish idea to, you know, just kill people, you know, discriminately. I don't think that's the mahalach. Although, you know, yesh tavar kazam, I'm like, I'm not, you know, I'm
that's
not.
What we're accused of.
Yeah, it is exactly what we don't do. I mean, yeah. It's just so competitive. But the point I wanted to make is this, that if you think about it, even as an unknowledgeable person such as I, you know, and everybody's complaining, why don't you do this? Everybody has an opinion what to do, you know, what's the right thing to do. You got to believe that somebody knows what they're doing. Otherwise, it's insanity. But, you know, I mean, but what's pashut is that, I'm just saying something pashut. What's pashut is, it's not a bunch of Arabs in Gaza that's the problem. Because they're backed by the Iranians, and that's why the Israelis are constantly stopping Iranian weapons to get to Gaza. And if you attack Gaza, it's pashut, everybody says. I'm just saying what I read in the newspaper. Like, everybody says that, well, then we're going to get hit by the north, God forbid. So if you get hit by the north, so they're much stronger than Gaza. So good. So you've annihilated the Gazans, and now you get the Hezbollah. So you have another 150,000 Loyalenu, literally, rockets. You know, and we went through this. Those of us who lived here, you know, went through this in the second Lebanon War. So okay. So everybody knows that it's not the Gazans. It's the Hezbollah. Then you know, well, it's not the Hezbollah. It's the Iranians. It's not even the Iranians, because the Russians just sided with the Iranians. So now we're not talking about Gaza, and we're not talking about Hezbollah, and we're not talking about Iran even. We're talking about Russia. You know, so now we have here, all of a sudden you have the machloikis between the President of the United States and the President of Russia. So okay, here we are, Israel, between these two things. How far is the President of the United States going to go? You know, for this cause, is it going to make a world war? Is it going to get into war with Russia? I have no different view on this. I'm just saying, obviously, to anybody who thinks about it for a minute, it's not so pushy as just, you know, bomb them, kill them. You have to think through the whole chess game over here. But you know, when you do think about it, it's very frustrating. So you know, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? You can't bomb this one. You can't bomb that one. A bus gets hit by a rocket from 50 meters away. They're tiny. You know, it was just nothing. I mean, look where the camera was. It was just like right on top of them. The bus gets hit by a rocket, and miraculously, everybody's saved. So says Chazal, everybody's saved. Even the Muslim bus driver is saved. So what's the pshat be'ikva, the Mashiach, that when it comes to the time of Mashiach, that you need to do, of course, you need to do all the things that we're doing, but ein lanu lishayim. Ella alavinu sheba shomayim. That's the at the end of the day, like, there is no shot. On the one hand, it's a very scary situation, and it's a very unstable situation, and rockets here, rockets there, Russia, this, who knows, and he's ignoring him in the hallway, and like, you know, Ribbono Shel Olam. But on the other hand, you know, Hashem, Hashem has control of the situation, and I think a little wink from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a little wink. You know, I'm watching. Is a story, and there are so many miracles. I mean, everybody who's been in war will tell you about the miracle that happened to them. And then once in a while it doesn't work, but there are so many miracles. I mean, so many houses that get direct hits and nobody's there. I mean, it's an amazing miracle. But these are not the, you don't win a war by a school bus not blowing up. But what you do is, by a school, by nobody getting killed on a school bus that did get blown up. But what you do understand is that there's all these superpowers involved here. And it's not about a bunch of Arabs on the, I was reading that the whole issue of burning down fields with balloons wasn't stam, like, you know, an Arab chap. It was a way of clearing the forests and clearing the, so that the, Israelis can't take cover from the Gazans. they're clearing the camouflage place. You know? I mean, that was the attempt. I don't know if they did or they didn't. I have no idea. But like, you can't. You have to deal here on two levels. But even on the level where you're dealing, Moshe Rabbeinu has to keep his hands up, and he has to put his hands down once in a while to say that even on the level that you have to do, the deterrence, the ammunition, the intelligence, you have to do that. But nobody's telling the Klal Yisrael not to go to war on Amalek. Nobody's saying that. They're just saying the way you win the war is with stopping Amalek. So you've got to do everything down here, and then you've got to do everything in Hashem, because if, God forbid, this war is lost, and this is the Kavana, it's a Chilul Hashem. It's a Chilul Hashem. Isn't it a Chilul Hashem? And it's exactly the Chilul Hashem that the enemy is trying to make, by the way. It's no different than Amalek. It's exactly the Chilul Hashem that they're trying to make. It's a big deal. Israel, wipe it off the map. They're a pain in the neck. They're anti-Semites. We're in their way in Syria. We're a pain in the neck. So get rid of them. Just get rid of them. It's a small little thing. So the Kiddush Hashem is that we're here, and we're making simchas, and we're making brisim and bar mitzvahs. That's the Kiddush Hashem that's here. We're learning Torah. So what we're davening for? Again, I'm not a news commentator, and I don't go there. But it just seems to me to be a davar pashut. That because we just all experienced this, literally experienced it. And many Jews experienced it in a worse way than we did, but it's all Ein Lanu Le'Yishoyin Ela Avinu Shebashamayim. At the end of the day, Hashem is in control, and that recognition, Mistaklin Klapei Mala, is exactly the Tefila L'Tzarech Gavoya that he's speaking about. And if the issue is that we're doing the wrong thing, and we're getting some kind of an onesh chas v'shalom because we're doing the wrong thing, which people like to say, and it's a horrible thing to say. We're doing well. They deserve it. Nevi'im prophets to say such a thing. But even if right, I mean that's like already like nauseating when you hear that kind of stuff. But even if you're feeling your own tsar, you have to understand because we made wrong choices. If that's the case, which none of us can point to and said, well, you're having this tsar because you made a wrong choice, maybe to us, between us and ourselves, we can do that, but certainly can't do it with anybody else. And it's done too much, I believe. Even then, that's also klapei mala that, okay, Hashem has tsar on that. This is Avraham Avinu davening for Sodom. Doesn't it bother you to kill out a hole? Doesn't it bother you? Noach was taken out by Hashem because didn't it bother you? I mean, why don't you talk to the people? I said here in Shul, does it say once in the whole Parshas Noach, Vayomer Noach? Say something, Zaktepis, talk to the people, do everything, building, say something, be makarv, like Avraham Avinu did. It was nothing because he did not daven and he did not talk to the people of the Dor HaBabel, and because Avraham Avinu did, he became Avraham Avinu. So, there's no such thing as judging the other people. So, but even if we do have tsar, for whatever reason, Hashem is giving us tsar, and even if that tsar is not a chilul Hashem, so Hashem has tsar, as he says, over the fact that we've chosen wrong, and it has to do somehow this miruk of avaynos. Okay, that also hurts you. A little bit further, next Haggadah, do you have it in order there? Just get a start on this. Masha Omar. Do you have Mekudos there? Okay, good. No, I want to try myself. Just correct me if I'm wrong. No, I'll tell you why I'm saying. Masha Omar, where it says... What's the next word?
Kalani.
Oh, not cheat. No, because in yeshivas they say Kloni be Roshi, Kloni be Zrayi. Yeah. Or what does it mean? So lowly, you don't know what it means. Asur lehischabed be kalon chaveroi. Ein loy chelak hamischabed be kalon chaveroi. Ein loy chelak loylam haba. What does it mean? What does it mean?
Zion.
What does it mean? Word. What's the root?
Kal.
The Rambam Pirush Mishnah says, the correct way to pronounce this is kalani, which is short, a contraction, is that the word? Of the kalani. Kalani. Klani. Logical, I'll be kalani. I am... Kalani Miroshi, Kalani Mizrahi. Where does it say that? The Mishnah. So the Mishnah is in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Vav, in the beginning of Perek HaToilin, and there it talks about how to hang a man. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. HaToilin, all Perek, talks about Mises Pastin. How do you hang a guy? There's a machlekes in the Gemara, whether you hang him from a rope or you hook him on the wall, like a butcher would do, or you there's a lot of different ways to hang somebody. You crucify him, or do you put his hands one on top of the other? The Gemara, like every other halacha, is very medayik in it. Omar Rameyer says the Mishnah. The Rameyer says that when you're when based in is killing somebody, Ma Kodesh Baruch Hu Omer Bo Yisusha. What does Hashem say at that moment? Kalani Miroshi, Kalani Mizrahi. Which was, it's not a pasuk, it was a expression, a vernacular, that people used to say in those days. The equivalent is, you know, oh yeah, I have a headache. Oh, my feet hurt. I can hardly move. Whatever the kvetch was, the kvetch of 2,000 years ago, it feel good. Was Kalani Miroshi, Kalani Mizrahi, and here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, Kalani Miroshi, Kalani Mizrahi, you're hanging the guy. You're doing, what are you doing? You're doing my din. Says Rameyer, Kal v'chomer l'tzadikim. What does he mean? So, what's a tzadikim? What's a tzadikim? Nobody's hanging tzadikim. Sometimes you hang the tzadik if you do capital punishment, and the guy's really innocent. Kal v'chomer, says Rameyer, l'tzadikim. This is Rameyer l'shitasay in Shas, that Rameyer understands the omek of Rishoyim. And the what could be, you know, the potential of Rishoyim. So Hashem says, Kalani Miroshi, Kalani Mizrahi. See, I just mentioned a couple of days ago that why did Yitzhak like Esav? Everybody hates Esav, everybody loves Yaakov, except for Yitzhak, one of the others. So the pshat is that, I believe the positive pshat is that Yitzchak wasn't looking at what Esav is doing or what Yaakov is doing. He was looking at the potential. Looking at the neshama. And the Svarim HaKadoshim say that Esav had a bigger neshama. Vaharaya in Meretz, he was running. Yisodah, he was able to, charismatic, he was a hunter, he was able to manipulate the world. Yaakov Ishtam, Yoshev Olam. So he was looking at a deeper thing, even though it's not that he was wrong, he was a Rasha. The Svarim say, I believe the Sfas Emma says, that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Yitzchak only got excited about Yaakov when he realized that Yaakov stole Esav's brachas. Oh, ba'achicha b'mirma. Yeah. You are what I, you're giving, now you're giving me nachas. Ba'achicha b'mirma, took your brachas, he took your bechor, you know, good guy. He also has some potential, and you see the potential worked out with Lavan, you know, as the parshias go on, worked out with Lavan. What's my connection, just to start off? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees a Rasha dying, and he doesn't say, you know, the hell with him. You know, he says, Kalani Miroshi, Kalani Mizrahi. Before we even go into the pshat, which we will on Sunday here in Sashem, Kalani Miroshi, Kalani Mizrahi. It's like, what a disappointment that is. My, you know, Miroshi Mizrahi. The Marsho says, I blew into his nostrils, Kalani Miroshi. I gave this guy life. I gave him a neshama. Look at the neshama I gave him. And you know, it's a, I don't know if it's a sad fact or whatever you want to call it, but it is a fact that some of the people that, that go kiilu off the derech, they're really better in a way. They're better neshamas. They're bigger neshamas sometimes than the people who stay on because you know they have a lot of merits. But they're not better because they chose wrong. So you know, but the Kalani Miroshi, the disappointment is great. That guy could have been a big gon. He could have been a big gadol.
After 120
years. Yeah, yeah. This
where,
is
where the svarim.
Where is the svarim? Right. So where is the svarim? So Kalani Miroshi, Kalani Mizrahi, Hashem's Zroya, his hands, it refers to the Yad Hashem. Yad Hashem refers to the Hashkacha Pratis. Look how I set him up in life, or her up in life, to be great. I gave them this neshama, and I gave them this moach, and I gave them an environment.
What a waste. What a waste. Mm-hmm. So that's the pshat. I believe this is the Pashat pshat, and Kalani Marsha speaks it out, but I think that's what it means. Kalani Miroshi, Kalani Mizrahi, the mayor says, look at it different. You're hanging a guy. This is a time for tears. This is not a time for Bavoid Rishoyim Rina. This is not a time to celebrate. This is such a sad thing. And I would imagine that the whole Sanhedrin was crying if this happened. I would imagine they're all crying. Like, the potential that's there. You know, the like Yitzhak was crying over Esav that he went the wrong way. He did the wrong things and ended up being anti-Semites and killing Jews. But what could have been? What could have been?
The mayor wasn't a Das Yochid.
I don't know that it's the wrong thing to call him. I think he was the one who pointed this out. Or is Remeir, as we learned many times, Remeir. Right, ain halacha k'moisa, but Remeir was Matiris Hasharetz. Is it yours? Is it Remeir to Godless or Remeir? Like, ain Remeir, ain Bedar k'moi Remeir. There was nobody who was a Godel Ador, ain halacha k'moisa. Why? He learned from Acher. Why did he learn from Acher? Because he was Matiris Hasharetz. It's Hainuach. How did he learn from Elisha ben Avuya? The same way he was Matir Sheretz, he learned from Elisha ben Avuya. And the same way that he looked at the guy hanging, and I don't know if there's a story behind it, but that's what he comes up with in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. When he looked at a guy hanging, Gevald. Maybe we could have been Makar of him more. Maybe we could have somehow gotten him to make better choices. Hasra?
But just like we say, we're not allowed to learn from the Samrila Kavishim and the Buya. Maybe we don't look at the maybe.
Ain halacha kamoisa. You have to kill him. That's a din.
Yeah, but the question is, as far as the hashkafa, but how do we, you know, what level are we on? At our level, are we supposed to cry over the?
I think you have it all wrong. I think what Remeir is saying is that. That's a good neshama, a better neshama, a great neshama. That could have been a Gadol Adar. There's what to cry. Ain halacha k'moisai. I'm not saying it has to. I mean, you have to do what you got to do. There's a din. So, in fact, like you know, anybody that you have
but
to.
But did this Sanhedrin cry? That's what I'm asking. Yeah,
I think they agreed with the hashkafa, but they were stuck with the halacha. That's what he's saying. They said they acknowledged he was the Gadol Adar. They acknowledged he was a Gadol Adar. I think Bruri was a different thing. She wasn't Matire the Sheret. She ate the Sheret. That was a different story. But Remeir was Matire Sheret. He had a look, and his Talmidim had a way to look. Kufnun Drachim Tiras HaSheret. They had a way to look at something which was not affecting the halacha at all. Because you can't do halacha. There's laws. There's rules. You can't do like that in halacha. But the point I'm making here is, let's just to end with this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kalani Mireisha, Kalani Mizrahi, and then he's going to tell us how that the obvious connection to what we're learning in the Nefesh Chaim is that there's tzar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's your hashkafa. There is tzar for HaKadosh Baruch Hu when somebody is being punished. So even though it has to be punished, it doesn't mean that we have a toothache. But it means if somebody's actually misa-spaced, somebody actually is punished, Hashem has tzar. Kalani Miroshi, Kalani Mizrahi. That's what Meir says. Kalani Miroshi, Kalani Miroshi, Kalani Mizrahi. Hashem says, I don't know what to do. So therefore, it goes back to the Tefillah L'Tzarech Gavoya. Because Tefillah L'Tzarech Gavoya, then in that case, means I don't want to cause you pain. So good, I made a mistake. But I don't want to cause you pain, so now give me another chance. That's the essence of the Tefillah. Once Meir told us that you're a tzar, so let me see what I can do now.
Is this also applied to Goyim, to Amalek? Or is it by the mainstream drowning?
Mm-hmm. Amalek might be the only exception to this, but in other words, they went so far.
There's a mitzvah
sinah, but in other words, Amalek was created bad. Yeah, in other words, Amalek was created because there has to be a
balance.
What's the word I'm looking for? Not an antidote. There has to be a bit. Okay. I don't know why Amalek was created.